Blog Talk Radio.
I'm a part of the fellowship of the unashamed. I have Holy Spirit power. I've stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I'm a disciple of His. I won't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past redeemed, my present makes sense, my future is secure. I'm finished and done with low living, sight walking, small planning, smooth knees, colorless dreams, tame vision, worldly talking, cheap giving, and dwarf goals. I no longer need preeminence, position, promotion, applause, or popularity. I don't have to be right first, tops, recognized, praised, regarded, or rewarded. I now live by faith, lean on His presence, walk by patience. I am uplifted by prayer and labor empowered. My face is set, my greatest path, my goal is heaven. My road is narrow, my way is rough. My companions are few, my God reliable, my mission is clear. I cannot be fucked, compromised, detoured, lured away, turned back, deluded, or delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice. Make the love stand up, forward up, prayed up, preached up for the cause of Christ. I am a disciple of Jesus.
We will
The volume slider didn't work too good right there. Although it was supposed to. Good morning, everybody. Good to have you with us today.
Good morning.
It is Sunday morning. And we're glad to have you with us. Can you imagine? We made it through another winter.
Woo-hoo!
If you lived around here, it didn't even seem much like winter. We had a few snowstorms, but it's just beautiful North Dakota. And once again today, clear blue skies. As clear as you can get. And that big North Dakota broad expanse where you can go to the top of a hill and see the horizon for 50 miles. You gotta love it. You gotta love it. So we welcome you to be with us here this morning. And it's interesting. I see Brother Copeland had a good notification at 11. Mm-hmm. As of yet, our notification hasn't popped up, but we are definitely here.
Oh, just got it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I still don't see it, but once you make a post, once one of you make a post, then I'll be able to get connected with you. Be like, wait, Pastor, you're the guy that's got the computer. I know. I know. We got a very interesting situation going on here. With all of the wonder of all that we do, so dependent upon that crazy thing that we call technology. Everybody say technology.
Technology.
Sometimes technology has no technical logic.
That's a true statement.
Julian M. Pomano, welcome.
Hello.
Good to have you guys with us. We are actually here. It's Sunday morning, so I like to hook up on my personal Facebook page. That way I can see some of my other friends that throughout the week aren't necessarily a part of the program. We're glad to have you here as we go on for an hour and communion.
we're still here. We don't mean to be silent. Just getting everything.
And all of a sudden, that guy stopped talking. Yeah, I did.
Just trying to get everything rolling here.
So we're glad to have you with us. This is Sunday, 21 March, 2021. Just think, a year ago right now, everybody was trying to tell us how intelligent it was going to be for us all to stay home in our houses and do nothing, and it was going to save the world. Clarence Blodgett, welcome, man. It's good to see you with me this morning. Where are you at? What are you doing? That's amazing. That's amazing to see. And a year later, what did they accomplish? Nothing but destroying a whole bunch of mom and pop businesses. And amen. Thank you for my wife, who always does a good job of correcting me, even on online. And it's okay. Some of you didn't hear. She said, get your mouth right. But they didn't get nothing done. And we declare over every one of you, if your business was affected, may God restore the years the locust tried to eat from you, your life, and your family in Jesus' name. Why? Because that's his plan. His plan is that gives that we have life in everywhere we go and everything we do. And you know what? Our God is bigger than anything any of these crazy politicians think they know or have done. They're fools for trying to change us. And it's like the words we studied all week in Nehemiah. Nehemiah built the walls that were around Jerusalem. All right. Ezra showed back up. He rebuilt the temple. And they got that done. And then Nehemiah showed up to rebuild the wall. And, you know, I don't have them verses in my notes for today, but I guess since it's just us, we might as well go grab them. What do you think? I think so, too. Nehemiah, chapter 4. I'll find the right verse here. Just a second. It's a very specific statement that Nehemiah made. Where are we at? Anybody know what day it is?
It is Sunday, the 21st. Is you still up?
Oh, no. I am doing it, but no, it's not up. Put it up right now. Nehemiah. We're going to have to actually go to the Bible here. Isn't that an interesting statement? If you don't know where Nehemiah is, Nehemiah is right before Job, which is right before Psalms. Nehemiah, and there it is. It's actually not chapter 4. It's actually chapter 2, verse 20 is what we're looking for here. And we're glad to have each of you that show up with us. Wow, that's very interesting. Pat Holmes is with us. Hi, Pat. It's good to have you here with us today. Right now, we're getting a little quiet because we're all looking for this specific verse that God gave us. I'm looking for the verse that I rewrote. Well, anyways, Nehemiah was rebuilding the wall, and as he was rebuilding that wall, he said to the wicked people that was around him, you can't stop us from building this wall because we're rebuilding the wall in righteousness. Now, I have found my statement, and I shall now read it. I think it's fun. We have all this technology. Pat Holmes, welcome. Good to have you with us today, ma'am. Wherever you're watching from today. Pat Holmes and Clarence Blodgett. All right, check this out. It's Nehemiah 2:20. I answered and said to them, the God of heaven will prosper us. Therefore, we his servants will arise and build. But you have no heritage or right or memorial in Jerusalem. This is what you and I say every day to communism, socialism, modernism, feminism, racism, all the isms. All the isms are the teachings of man from around the world that they're trying to enforce upon you and I as Americans to destroy us. And you and I say, nah, we don't do that. This is what Nehemiah said. To all the isms trying to destroy the United States of America, you have no right or claim or historic authority to our promised land. You may think we have been driven off, but we, the children of God, have returned to our God and are rebuilding every wall that seems to be torn down in the realm of the spirit and in the natural. Now, you might look at Nehemiah 2:20 and say, it does not say all those words. Well, I took it out of Nehemiah 2:20 and I put it up here into what you and I would call March 21st, 2021. And regardless of what our enemy thinks, he cannot, he does not, he will not destroy us. Amen. And it's because we have our hope and our trust and our foundation in who our God is. Now, let's be done with that and pray, and we'll get into the Word of God for today. So here we go. Everybody pray with us. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for the opportunity to come together and speak your Word, to lift up your name, to draw closer to you. We thank you right now, Father, that you're doing such an amazing, marvelous, wonderful work. We see it, we know it, we enjoy it, we love it, and right here, right now, today, you're going to do another work in our lives. And that work is going to help us find you who you are. And we give you glory for it. Lord, we're coming up to Holy Week now. It reminds us of that time when you so willingly laid down your life, having lived a sinless life. And today, as we end this week, we study throughout this week what it is that you did to reveal Father to us. And throughout this week, we come to that understanding of who you are in our lives. Thank you, Father, that you love us in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So, amen.
Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Now, the verse about Nehemiah, that was all just extra. We don't charge for them verses at all. Cool thing about what we do is we don't charge for any verses here. We're glad to have you. Dan Collins watching with us. Dan and Gwen, we love you guys. We call you blessed in Jesus' mighty name. And all the rest of you that's watching, thank you. Those of you that will come and watch it in the future. Remember this. We always want to know if you're with us. See if I can keep from knocking something off the table here. You're always welcome to send an email, a text, a message. You got a question about God or your life? You might say, nobody else is answering this question. Maybe I should ask this crazy preacher. And I'm not a crazy preacher. I'm just me. I just love God and love you, love helping people, and that's what we do. Every Saturday night, we have a question and answer session. night you come to one of the programs you see that we're doing live, we'll answer a question for you about God and help you begin to come to an understanding of who he is. Now, I was studying this, thinking, at first this week, I was thinking this was Palm Sunday. But aren't you glad for Duck Duck? Everybody's like, who knows? What's a Duck Duck, Pastor? Well, Duck Duck is the next best search engine rather than Google. Google just helps Google get bigger and bigger. Duck Duck is another one. DuckDuck is a search engine that doesn't put more money in the Google pocket. You know, you might say, Pastor, them are stupid words. No, DuckDuck is actually a search engine, and Google is all they're trying to do is just Google, 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 and anything they can do to control you, they will. So I recommend DuckDuck. It's a pretty good place. I've been there for quite a while now. I was looking. I'm like, all of a sudden, I'm like, wait a minute. I better make sure before I start teaching about Palm Sunday that it's Palm Sunday. Because I don't want people to know this guy don't even know what day it is. But as I started this, the last week of Jesus' life, a lot of things happened. And we're going to study that all throughout this week. This thought came to me. We're going to read today a portion of Jesus' prayer at the end of his life. This is the very last night. This is Jesus' last prayer for every one of us. Now, when I saw that, this is the thought that came to me. The miracles of Jesus happened because Jesus was setting people free. Right? Jesus didn't just perform miracles just so that everybody would stand around and say, wow, look at that. Ooh, that's amazing. Look at all that power. That's not why Jesus performed his miracles. Jesus performed the miracles because people were bound. Jesus taught the parables so that you and I could see the heart of the Father and what the kingdom of God actually looks like. Many church denominations will hand you a denominational handbook. This is what we believe in this denomination. And it's okay if they give you a denominational handbook because every organization has to have order. And in order for it to grow and develop, you got to have order and structure. You got to have all the process of discipleship. Everything's got to be there for it to grow. Yeah. But watch this. His parables reveal the kingdom to us. And the Father's heart, his miracles come to set people free. So let's go take this apart a minute and let's look at this, how we're really supposed to be seeing this on a daily basis. Now, there's a lot of people who say Jesus was an amazing man, had so much power. He just had so much power. Well, he did have power. But Jesus wasn't sitting around in the house of the disciples going, I got some power. Where should we go release it today? That's not what he was. Just because you have authority over demons, and you do, doesn't mean you should go around every day just exercising your authority for authority's sake. I know one great man said, if you see a demon behind the door, kick the door down, drive it out, and put the door back up. All right, I understand that. But we don't go demon hunting. We go looking for people that want to be free.
Yeah, amen?
Amen? Yeah. People that are giving life and life more abundantly to Jesus. Now, let's look at Luke 4. And we'll lay this out a little. Besides that, those of you who are our friends, and you show up, say hi or something, because we want to welcome you and say hi to you. We're glad you stopped by. Even if it's just for a minute, I always want to know that you stopped by to say hi, and we'll be a blessing to you. And If you got a question right here, right now on this program, ask it. We'll answer it.
Yeah, just type it in the comments.
Type it right in the comments. Even if you have a question about Trump, type it in the comments. I probably won't answer it, but somebody's like, he just said that name again. No, I know. But I want you to see something. Everybody relax a little bit. This is March 21st. Have you noticed that the world did not come to an end? Did you look outside? All of you that's like, you know, Sam, you got this bright side and this other side. Well, the bright side is every time I look out that window, God seems to have brighter lights than I do. And the sun's not even shining in the window. The sun's like still way down the building. This is just the outflow of the glory of God in this place. So here we go. We're going now to Luke. Everybody do this. Luke chapter 4, 16, 17, and 18. And watch this. We're going to paint this picture. This is our thought this morning. Father, reveal yourself to me. Say it. Father, reveal yourself to me. Now watch. In heaven, he's like, oh, really? Well, all right, then I think I will. Now, so he sent us Jesus. Watch this, verse 16. He came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. 17. And it was handed to him the book of the prophet Isaiah. He'd opened the book. He found the place where it was written. Check this out. Check out what was written. This is Jesus writing about himself. Nope. Reading about what was written about himself from the prophet Isaiah. So here's what he said. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. He sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, the recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Verse 20, he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. Did you ever wonder what it meant when it says there, and he sat down in the synagogue? In the synagogue was a chair that was placed in a specific spot on purpose for that day when the Messiah showed up and revealed himself to the people. Nobody ever sat in that chair. You ever been in a church where there was a bunch of kids running around and they were climbing all over stuff? No kid was allowed to get up and sit in that seat. Why? Because that seat was prepared and was there for the day Messiah would show up and reveal himself to everyone. And when he revealed himself, he would be seated in that seat. Now, I wasn't going to go as deep as giving you the reference point of where that was all at. But anyways, I'm not going to do it now because we don't have much time. But watch this. Jesus read the verses that came out of Isaiah 61 that was speaking about him. And then he sat down in that chair. And then verse 20 says, the eyes of everyone in the synagogue was focused on Jesus. Can you imagine the hush that fell in that building at that moment when he handed the scroll back to the attendant and walked over and sat down in that chair, 5,000 years of prophecy was coming to pass. At that moment, Jesus went over and began to sat down in that chair. Now, I can stand up this morning and then sit back down in this chair, and the whole world won't shake, quiver, rattle, or roll. But hey, when Jesus sat down in that chair, immediately all of redemption plan on this earth kicked into gear. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Jesus didn't sit down in the chair and say, I've got power over demons, and I'm going to collect 12 guys and give them power, and we're going to go around exercising our power. Remember what Jesus said? On that day, many will say, we cast out demons in your name. And Jesus will look at them and say, what? Depart from me. I never knew you.
Horrible thing to hear.
Sunday morning, we're getting real serious real quick. Now let's go back to verse 18. This is why Jesus came to this earth. This was his assignment every day. This is our assignment every day. And as the Apostle Paul taught us in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13, 14, we're not turned there, but in those three chapters, the Apostle Paul taught us what is the orderly process for church. Say it with me. Orderly process for church. That's chapter 12, 13, and 14. Watch. This is what Jesus said. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel. What does the word gospel mean? Good news. He has anointed you and me to preach the good news to who? Well, the first person is the poor. What is good news to the poor? You don't have to be poor no more. Not poor in spirit, not poor in soul, not poor in body, not in your mind, your will, your emotion, and most definitely not in your pocketbook. Why? Can you imagine God the Father brings all the glory of heaven and puts on the inside of you and then says, I'm sorry, you have all the glory in you, but you got to stay poor and broke. That's not God at all. When a captive is free, how do they feel? Free indeed. Amen, bro. Look at the next one, what it says, the next verse. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Well, Pastor, if I got a broken heart, who can heal it? Obviously, Jesus and God. Why? Because that's what it says he came to do. He came to heal the brokenhearted. He proclaimed liberty. He came to proclaim liberty to the captives. What's that mean? I once was bound, but now I'm free. I am free indeed. Say it. I have been given liberty by Jesus from the Father, and I've been set free. Rebecca Smith, welcome, welcome, welcome. Good to have you with us today. And then verse 19 says, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. You know what that means? Jesus came to tell us that this is the day of salvation right here, right now, in the mighty name of Jesus. Say it with me. This is the day of salvation. Right now today. Think about it. Jesus came and every single day of his ministry healed somebody, set a captive free, cast out a demon. Whatever it was, he did. But it was because everywhere he went, he met people who literally had demons literally had bondages and sicknesses. And he didn't do what he did just to exercise his power. He did what he did to set you free. As soon as he sets you free, what did Jesus begin to teach? The gospel of the kingdom. And that, what did he do when he did that? He revealed the Father to you and me. What was Jesus' whole assignment here? It is to reveal the Father to you and me. Let's go look at it. Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. You know, in the last 70 years, the teaching of the church has had many major doctrines, all right? One of them is, he'll perform miracles. Dr. Oral Roberts, A.A. Allen, Amy Simple McPherson, there's a couple other contemporaries right then. John G. Lake and Smith Wigglesworth were at the turn of the 1900s. Lester Sumrall had an amazing miracle crusade. And then since then, there's been other people. But for about 40 years there was an amazing miracle, miraculous signs and wonders happening all over the world. What was that about? The Father was showing he has the ability on this earth and this day to set you free. Not only do you see it in the Bible, it's for today. Well, then, in the 60s, we had a bunch of teachers that showed up that said, hold it. Now that we got all these people delivered, set free from the things that's binding them, we got to show them what the Bible's all about and how God loves them. So then we began to have the charismatic renewal, and we began to have word teaching where people really gave themselves to studying the word. Well, we had miracles, and then we had the gifts of the Spirit, and people began to pray in the Holy Ghost. People began to fall out in the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit began to manifest, and then we got into the Word. Now listen, what is all of that about? Except that you would see the heart of the Father and know who he is in our lives right here on this earth right now. Every bit of it is preparing you and I for Jesus coming. You think about Dr. Oral Roberts. He started the Miracle Crusades, I think, in the 50s, in his big tent. I mean, he had a tent that would seat 10,000 people inside of the tent. You know how big of a tent that is? I mean, the next time you go to a Coliseum for some kind of a sporting event or something, you realize that there's about 10,000 people in here. This is a big old building put in 20,000 people. And in that day, it was nothing more than a big building with rows of chairs. I mean, a big tent. And at one point in one of those situations, he actually laid hands on 10,000 people and saw 10,000 miracles documented in one night. But you know what? It wasn't so Oral Roberts would be seen as powerful. It's so that it was so people could get free. And that debilitating bondage or sickness that had the total attention of their whole life was now broken off of them, and they were set free to do what? To live and come to the knowledge of who God is. And naturally, once you find out what family you belong to, who do you always want to be with? That family. I hope I'm making sense today. Am I making sense? I'm used to a bigger audience. More amens. Oh, Brother Tim, Marshall, and Renee, that's what we get here. I do have Ripley and Roman, but they're both asleep. Can you believe it? My own wonderful fur balls have fallen asleep on me. So let's get back to this now. So here's the tent. They got these people. They're all getting set free, delivered, healed. But it's not just so you get set free. Now, it is for freedom that Jesus set us free. But the whole purpose of it is so you'll understand who you are in this earth, why you're here, understand your purpose, and then begin to help other people all around you find that same purpose. What are you going to do? You're going to teach them, wait, I know you were the Jones family, but you now have the blood and the nature of the God family.
Amen.
Pastor, why do you guys shout and holler like you do? Well, because if you got the revelation that the God who created every bit of this wants to live inside of you and then help you teach other people who he is, all of a sudden, your whole life changes. And you go everywhere you go saying, let me help you understand something. On the inside of you is another whole being, and it is called God Almighty. And your very spirit, soul, and body is designed by God to know God. And when we fill with anything besides God, then our whole system gets messed up. And we're like, well, that may have been fun, but that sure certainly didn't satisfy what's on the inside. Why? Because the only thing that satisfies the inside of you is when all of this is in perfect order and perfect structure with who our Father is, who created you. Oh, man, I found the family, found my folks. I found where I belong. Guess what happens? You shared somebody else. You ought to see what our family's like. Boom, somebody else will be like, whoa, this is a family right here. And then somebody shows up. Somebody else shows up. Do you know Dr. Youngie Cho is the largest church family in the world? There's 1 million people in that family. In one church. That's a pretty big deal. That brother in Africa, which is named David Ayedipo, he has a church building that'll seat 100,000 people. You ready for this? And he has to have 5 services on Sunday. You know why? Because there's 500,000 people that's trying to get inside of his church. You know why? Because he found out who God is and began to teach the family of God to everybody around him. And all the folks around him have come to him. And now there's 500,000 people every Sunday who show up to a church building. I think Brother Copeland said they start at like 5 o'clock in the morning.
Wow.
And the last service happened at like 6 o'clock at night. But I mean, if you think about moving 500,000 people in one day, in and out of one building, that's a serious amount of work. And when I actually saw a video of it one day of one of the services, there was another 10,000 people sitting around outside in the grounds. It's Southern Africa, so it's not like it to get cold there. What are you saying, Pastor? God ain't about big churches. God ain't about $1 billion. How many dollars do you think God has? God is about you and I knowing him. And then once you and I know him, we begin to share it with those that are around us saying, wait, let me show you how to make that inside of you come into perfect peace with God. And now that inside of you come at perfect peace with God, what is the automatic thing you're going to do is tell other people about it. And what have we just done? We've just started building a huge family of God. Jesus didn't come here just to show how powerful he was. Jesus never did anything to just show off his power. Did he control the storm? Because he had to get from point A to point B. The storm showed up to stop him. Shut up. Can you imagine? I've thought about that many times. Peter, James, and John. Well, all the disciples are both. So, listen. That's not a two or three seat boat. If you got 12 grown men in it, that's a pretty good sized boat. I mean, put 12 people on a pontoon. You better have some pretty good pontoons or you're sinking. I have a friend in Michigan, Ed. He's got what we call the lily pad dozer. And it is a pontoon boat. With a pert, I don't know what he's got for a motor, but that motor won't get all tangled up in the lily pads. And he can wade that pontoon right out across the pad of a bunch of lily pads in the pond, and we can catch the biggest bass you ever saw in your life. So one day, my dad and my brother Joe, my brother Andy, and Ed and Uncle Terry, seems like we had one more, was with us. I'm fishing. And this pontoon is a good boat, but with all those boys we just talked about, if there was three of us that went and stood in the back, guess what happened? Water started coming up into the boat. We didn't have enough flotation devices. What's your point, Pastor? Jesus and the 12 disciples were in a boat. That's not a little two or boat like we might know in America. This is a pretty good sized ship. And the storm showed up and the ship started going down. Now the only thing Jesus did is stand up and say, shut up, devil, you can't stop what I'm doing. He didn't do it so the disciples would go, whoa, dude, check him out. See what he just did? He did it so he could get his work done. And go cast the demon out of the guy on the other side. Or, depending on which side of the lake he was on, he was going back to his house that he had. Jesus had a house in Capernaum. So, it doesn't matter where Jesus went. Power happened everywhere he went. But it wasn't for the sake of the power. It was for the sake of helping people find his Father. And getting them back in tune with him. Can I get an amen from you? It's pretty good word right here as we enter into the last 2 weeks of Jesus' life. We'll study it all week long. Now, where did I tell you to go? I sent you somewhere.
Hebrews
chapter 1. Look at this. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets. So the writer here, I believe it's Paul, was talking about how God spoke to the people in the Old Testament. All right? Has in these last days, verse 2, spoken to us by his son, Jesus. All right? Velma Osborne, welcome. Good to have you with us today, Velma. We are studying about Jesus today, and we're in Hebrews chapter 1, verse number 3. Good to see you, man. Matter of fact, Velma, it says that you got a little camera on. Are you wanting to come on and teach this morning? Velma's like, no, I don't think I'm teaching this morning. We love you. So glad to have you with us. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. Look at verse 3. Who being the brightness, wait, I'm in verse 2, sorry, whom he appointed heir of all things. Father made Jesus heir of everything, by whom also he made the worlds. So that phrase tells you Jesus is the creator. Verse 3, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his son, of his person, and Jesus upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had himself purged our sins. Say it, my sins are purged. Sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, and has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name. Now think about it. God sent Jesus to this earth to cause you and me to come back to the understanding of who God is, and he's our Father. And then make everything right and deal with sin that Adam and Eve sinned, and it put us back into our rightful relationship with the Father.
Yeah.
Literally, our assignment on this earth is that we go everywhere we go and we help people understand. Our Father God wants you to understand who he is, that he loves you, and he wants to help you. And he's going to live in you every day. In all reality, guys, the big healing tents, the big healing ministries, meetings, the greatest thing they needed to follow those places was the most severe discipleship process you could ever find.
Yeah.
Because our Father has never showed up with power just to show off his power. Our Father has showed up in your life for one purpose, and that is to reveal himself to you through who Jesus was. When you take this back to the first page of your Bible in Genesis chapter 1, he made this whole earth for you and I to live. Genesis chapter 2 is the garden and the absolute immensity of beauty that he created on this earth for you and me to enjoy. Genesis chapter 3 is where our enemy shows up, who tried to elevate himself above God, and God kicked him out of heaven. And now he's on the earth. In Genesis chapter 3, we see the sin of Adam and Eve. And since that day in Genesis, in the garden, our Father has been doing everything on this earth to you and I. Hold it. I'm your Father, not the father of lies. I'm your Father, not the father of lies. I'm the Father, not the father of lies. And the reason Jesus came to this earth is so you and I would know who God is. Now, go with me to Matthew chapter 13. Everywhere Jesus went, he performed miracles. The miracles were set people free from bondages that were keeping them from understanding who our Father was. That's what they was all about. The parables came to show you what the kingdom is like and what the heart of the Father is. This is the parable of the sower. I want you to get this picture. The Father sowed the word, Jesus, into this earth so he could reap the harvest in me. That makes sense? Jesus is the living word. We're reading in a minute. The sower sows the word. The Father of heaven sowed Jesus the Word into this earth so that we could reap the harvest of the Word of God and have the revelation of who the Father is. Let's read it. And then we'll be done and we'll receive communion together Sunday morning. On the same day, Jesus He went to the house, his house, and sat by the sea. His house was on the sea. Jesus had a lake house. How cool is that? I think it's pretty good wisdom that Jesus had a lake house. And a great multitude was gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and he sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured it. Some fell by the stony places, for they did not have much earth, and immediately sprang up, because they had no depth of earth. When the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. Others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Look at verse 10. The disciples came and said, Jesus? Terry Freeman, good to see you, buddy. Good to see you here today. God bless you, man. God bless your family. God bless your life. And God bless your fingers to play some awesome guitar. Brothers right there. We're in Matthew 13, 10. The disciples came and said, why do you speak to them in parables? Watch this. And he answered and said, because it's been given to you to know the mystery of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has the word, revelation, to him more will be given, and he'll have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he does have, will be taken away from him. Verse 13, therefore speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, saying, hearing they will not hear, seeing they will not see, for their hearts of this people have begun grown dull. Their heart of hearing, their eyes they have closed to the revelation of the church. Hold on. Your wife is at the hospital. Well, let's pray right now. Let's pray right now. This is what Jesus said to us the other day. Is this place is a healing room? Are you ready? This is exactly what we're preaching right now. Father, we thank you for the revelation. And at this moment, well, as Jesus would say in these situations, remind me of her name again, Terry. Isn't that her name? Athelina? I want to use her name, brother. I think that's what it is, if you'll remind me of her name. COVID, we speak to you right now. Pneumonia, we speak to you right now. You cannot and do not have authority. Athelina. You do not have any authority and ability to maintain your grip on Athelina. Brother Terry is coming, requesting prayer, seeking those who he knows will speak the word. We declare right now, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, COVID and pneumonia, Your power is broken now in the name of Jesus. Now, get off Altalina's body now. Go and get away from her. And now we declare, as Jesus said, he came to bring life and life more abundantly. And right here, right now, today, we declare life invades every cell of her body. We declare right now that all of this foreign process of pneumonia and COVID, you now get off of her body now. You have no ability to be there in her room or near her anywhere or ever again another day have any effect on her body. We call this done right now in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Now right here, right now, today, we declare the healing power of God and life is to Altalina and Reuben now in Jesus' mighty name. Right now, we declare in the realm of the spirit, the demonic spirit that goes along with this, we bind your power in the name of Jesus. We strip you of your power. We have power over all the power of the enemy. Get away from Altalina. Get away from Reuben. Get away from this church. We bind COVID in every room in this hospital in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, that you have given us power over all the power of the devil so that every person that is there in this community, in this region, in this hospital is now free from this thing in Jesus' mighty name. Say it with me. Life and life more abundantly. Everybody say it.
Life and life more abundantly.
Into Altalina.
Into
Reuben.
And into Reuben.
And anyone else in that hospital who may be suffering with this same thing. Because Jesus is in me. And Jesus is in these. And Jesus is in Altalina. And Brother Terry and Brother Reuben. We declare the power of God that is in them has now come from the inner depths and obliterates this thing now in the name of Jesus. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is living in our mortal body. And we declare right now from the inside out of Altalina and Reuben, from the inside out, the spirit of God comes alive well and strong. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Wilma, thank you for being here and praying. And Sister Velma, we got two sisters that have the power of God. And not only are their sisters in Christ, but their sisters, their twins, came out of the same womb. Here they are with us today just swinging. Swing, girl, swing. Beat these demons up like you would beat somebody up messing with your family when you was growing up as a kid. Can you imagine your sisters beating somebody up trying to mess with one of their brothers or sisters? Father, in the name of Jesus, we declare, for Brother Terry, life in his body, life in the kid body, life in every bit of this church. We declare the power of this enemy is broken forever in the mighty name of Jesus. Not only are they free, but they'll be flaming evangels of the truth that there is health and strength from the inside out in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Now, Father, we give you glory. Am I missing something?
Is it Haroon standing in a dream?
Oh, Haroon. Haroon Masih from Pakistan.
Yeah.
Bless you, brother. How's that, Brother Terry? all the way to Pakistan agreeing with this morning, man. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Just shout, it's done.
It is done.
It is done. It is done. It is done. It is done. It is done. Makes me want to sing that song.
Yeah.
For you are great. Want to sing it?
So great.
Brother John's with us this morning. He's a good singer. We'll see if he can sing with us. I'm going to try to do it myself. Sometimes I have trouble hitting the right note when we start this. But if I do, I'll start again. If I had Brother Terry live with me, he can hit that note on that one guitar string, and we'd have the perfect note. You ready? For you are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you. For you are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you. You are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you. For you are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you. You deserve the glory and honor. Lord, we lift our hands in worship. We exalt your mighty name. You deserve the glory and honor. Lord, we lift our hands in worship. Exalt your mighty name. For you are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you. For you are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you. For you are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you. For you are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that your presence doesn't show up because we have the perfect voice and we have the perfect band. But your presence shows up for these people.
Yeah.
Because our hearts are perfect towards you. And we love you for who you are. And of course, from that love comes the act of setting people free. And we thank you for freedom, for Elmina, for Reuben, this whole community. Thank you, Lord, that hope is in there, not fear. We bind you, fear. We'll not be afraid. Romans chapter 8, verse 11 says, since the same Spirit, since the Spirit of him that raised Jesus from the dead lives on the inside of us, that same Spirit gives life to our mortal bodies right here, right now, by the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. And we give you glory for it. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. No, he can't even go in the hospital. Now that I see him here, I remember yesterday, Terry, for some reason, I'm not getting your post, brother. I don't know what that is all about, but who knows anymore with Facebook. But I remember yesterday seeing you guys standing there with your hands looking at the hospital because you can't go in there. But this is what we know. We just stood in the gap, and our Father just answered our prayer.
Yes, amen.
And we're getting ready right now to receive communion. So if you guys are in the parking lot and you got some Cheez-Its and a Coke or something, have everybody that's with you receive communion with us right now. Because that's what we do. That's how we do it here. Because it ain't about me. Ain't about you. It's about the Jesus that's on the inside. And what we just taught you in today's time together, this hour of faith, is miracles didn't happen so we could see the power. The parables didn't come so that God would judge people. Every bit of Jesus' life is to show us the will of the Father in our lives. And you know, Romans 8:11 says, since the Spirit of him raised Jesus from the dead, the very Holy Spirit of God lives on the inside of our body. That same Spirit gives life to us. Thank you, Brother John.
Thank you.
The team here is sharing the communion elements with us. We encourage you to get communion elements there. Just leave your phone on top of the car, Brother Terry. We declare this is done now, and our sister is out of that place.
Amen.
And as she comes out, the glory of the Lord heals everybody in every other room that's there.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Now, let's go to our verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 through 38, 20. Let me see. I thought you was the pastor. I thought you knew where you were going. I do know where I'm going. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 28, verse 31, and 1 John chapter 4, verse 17 and 18. Now watch this. This is the Apostle Paul. For I received from the Lord that which I delivered to you. This communion service is, I'm not going to make the statement. Let's keep moving. On the same night he took the bread. When he blessed it, he broke it, and he said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Now we'll do that in a minute. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink this, drink it in remembrance of me. Verse 26. For as often as you eat this bread, and as often as you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's redemptive work until he comes. Verse 28 says, let a man examine himself. Everybody listening to me. And then let him eat the bread and drink of the cup. Verse 31, for if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. Now, we do communion differently than other people on purpose so that we'll do we will be very certain every time we do it to stop and pause, examine our lives, and then move forward in God. Are you ready? In verse 28, it says, examine yourself. The only prerequisite to communion is that you examine yourself. And then it says, let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. If you're a member of the body of Christ, then you can receive the broken body of Christ anytime that it's given. Let's pray this prayer of self-examination. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I know Jesus is the door to salvation.
I know Jesus is the door to salvation.
And I enter in through Jesus.
And I enter in through Jesus.
According to John chapter 1.
According to John chapter 1.
When I receive you, Jesus.
When I receive you, Jesus.
Because I believe in you, Jesus.
Because I believe in you, Jesus.
You give me the power.
To become a child of God.
And Jesus, I believe in you.
And Jesus, I believe in
and
you.
Jesus, I receive you.
And Jesus, I receive you.
Right now in my life.
Right now in my life.
Put your hands out and just receive him into your being. Now watch this. Hold your hands out. Take all your sins and just put them in a big pile and say, there's all my sin. I can't beat it because I don't have the ability.
I can't beat it because I don't have the ability.
Now do this. Reach out and receive all of Jesus' righteousness.
Put it
right back here on your heart and say, and it washes me and makes me whole. In Jesus' mighty name. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. So I live in power. Understand the word of God. Pray in my heavenly language. And live a successful life. As a believer every day. I pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And amen. Now, Pastor, I've never seen anybody do communion like this. Well, if I have you stand up and eat some crackers and drink some juice, and we don't do the spiritual work, I've made you like a Sadducee and a Pharisee who were filled with rituals but had no idea what it means. If all you're doing is drinking juice and crackers, you'll find a little bit of nutrition. But right now, if you prayed that prayer, your heart's right with God. In one prayer, you went from darkness to light. In one prayer, you went from fear to faith. I love this. In one prayer, you went from your sin to Jesus' righteousness. He made you the righteousness of God. Now watch. In that same prayer, you became connected to Almighty God and are now a member of the family. I love it. Welcome to the family of God. They're going to put my email address and website in there so you have the ability to contact us if you'd like to. Ask us a question, tell us a story. We'll help you walk with God. Now, let's bless our elements and receive them together. Now that we've done the spiritual work, pray a prayer in Jesus' mighty name. Pray this with me. Father, in Jesus' name,
Father, in Jesus' name,
I bless these elements
for
this time of communion with you.
Jesus, you were wounded.
For my transgression,
you were bruised
for my iniquity.
For my iniquity.
The chastisement for my peace is upon you, Lord. And by your stripes,
I am healed.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my
mind, my will, and my emotion.
In my mind, my will,
and emotion. Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Every joint supplying.
In my body.
In my body.
from your body, Jesus.
From your body.
In the body of Christ in my community.
In the body of Christ in my community.
And right here in this community of faith.
And right here in this community of faith.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus.
Let's receive Jesus' broken body. Thank you, Jesus. We have a place in the body of Christ. In the name of Jesus. And now we lift up the cup of blessing. Pray this with me. By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have been redeemed.
I have been redeemed.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have reconciliation.
I have reconciliation.
With you, my Father.
With you, my Father.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
Every sin.
Every sin.
That has been placed in remission.
In my life,
I give you glory.
I am a new creation.
Old things have passed away. And all things have become new.
In my life.
By the blood of Jesus, every plague
has to pass over
and cannot be on me or my family.
By the blood of Jesus,
I come boldly
to the throne room of
grace, where I find grace, mercy, and help
for my assignment every day.
By the blood of Jesus
and
the word of my testimony,
I overcome.
By the blood of Jesus.
The accuser of the brethren
is cast down in my life.
And
there's no more condemnation.
My
conscience is purged. My robes are made white. And I will always be the glorious church without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
When you come for me.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty
name. Amen. And amen. Let's receive the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 I think I want to sing that song one more time. It says they went out and sang a hymn. Just sing it with me. For you are great, you do miracles so great, there is no one else like you, there is no one else like you, for you are great, you do miracles so great, there is no one else like you, there is no one else like you. You are great, you do miracles so great, there is no one else like you, there is no one else like you. For you are great, you do miracles so great, there is no one else like you, there is no one else like you. Don't you love him? Aren't you glad that our Father wants to reveal all of himself to us every day? Every day. The whole world and the matter of the next 2 weeks is going to be focused in again on Jesus. Gail Blunt, welcome. Good to have you with us, Gail. We love you. We bless you and your family. Thanks for being a mighty woman of God and representing Jesus everywhere you go. For the next 2 weeks, the world is once again going to be focused on our Jesus because of Easter. They call it Easter. It's really Resurrection Sunday. Grab everybody you know. Get them to come and be a part of what we're doing. It's not about numbers. It's about, we're going to spend the next 2 weeks talking about the last 2 weeks of Jesus' life. And it's going to be a great time to study together. We're live every night, 8 p.m. on Eastern, right here on Facebook, YouTube, and Blog Talk Radio. If you know somebody that would love to be a part of this kind of word and revelation, but they don't have good signal, or they're not technologically astute, we have Blog Talk Radio, where they can just dial in on a phone and hear the whole message right on their phone. And it's up every time we're here, and they can listen. And there's even a archive where they could go back and listen again. And we're glad to be a part of it. In any way that we've touched your life today and we can help you, let us know, because we love you in Jesus' mighty name. And tomorrow night, 8 p.m., we're going to have our one-year birthday party as the community. 1 year. March 22nd last year was the first program we did. We didn't even know we were doing anything. We just turned the camera on and said, let's talk to our friends who are all sitting at home bored. And guess what? Here we are later this year. A year later. Goodness sakes alive. How many people have we seen free from COVID? How many people have we seen get free from drugs, alcohol, cigarettes, and bondage that's been in their life? How many people have not been healed in their body, restored in their mind, in their marriage, in their relationships? How many people now understand who our God is so much better than what they ever did before? Thank you, Lord, that every part of our life is about helping people know who you are, Father, are inside of us. And Jesus said that they might be one as we are one, Father. That's my place, is to help you know who you are in Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name. Well, that's it for today. Hopefully you have the same kind of beautiful day we do, that you can go enjoy it. The sun is shining and the wind is blowing. And somewhere the pelicans are saying, thank God for North Dakota. Bless you, Wilma. We love you. And Gail Blunt, Terry, Brother Terry Freeman, please make sure you connect with me, Terry, with your cell phone and stuff so we stay right on this with you. But we give God the glory. This is done in the mighty name of Jesus. What was his name? Haroon? Haroon, we welcome you. We bless you. Glad to have you. Brother Tanvir, I don't see you, but I think you're out in the middle of nowhere somewhere, so we probably aren't going to see you live. Brother Dan Cottle, thank you for being here. Rebecca Smith, all of you that have been here, make sure you click like or love. Those of you that watch later on, click the like button so we know who you are. When we go back, we can pray for you. And we bless you in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name.
Thank you, Brother John,
for being right here, helping us hold down the fort right here. In the mighty name of Jesus. Until we see you again tomorrow, Monday morning, at noon for prayer for the United States of America. And then tomorrow for the birthday party. Hey, get you a cake. Make you some brownies. Get you one of them happy birthday hats or glasses. And I think we've got a plan perfected that we actually have the ability to see you if you want to be live with us. Just make sure you got your house set up like you want. All you ladies, get your hair done. Have your makeup on. Or unless you say, Sister Phyllis, you just don't care whether it's done or not. That's what she said. That's what she said. I don't care whether my hair's done or not. If I want to go live, I'm going live.
And they have the ability to turn off their camera and leave their mic live or vice versa if they choose to do that.
No, it's, and the way it looks, is it's all going to be YouTube, and we're going to make a post on our, or not YouTube, all a part of Facebook. All right, let me just say this. I'm trying to be done. But what it looks like is we're going to be live on Facebook. We'll make a post and put in a link that'll let you sign in because you want to. And then your camera will be live. And I guess we can have a whole mess of us on there.
Yeah.
Right through Facebook. And if you see us practicing throughout the afternoon, well, then join in with us and you'll learn how to make it happen. Most of all, have your cake and coffee. Bob, somebody bring some hot dogs and relish and s'mores. Don't start a fire in your house, though. Unless you have a fireplace. Time tomorrow in the mighty name of Jesus. Are you ready? Any questions?
I did not see any questions.
I have a question.
Okay.
I'll ask later. Here we go. It's what we always say when we come here. You ready, guys? Studio audience, help me. We love
you.
God loves you. And
Jesus
is
Lord.
Amen.
Amen. And amen.